Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Butcher, leaves him for dead. Outside Bennett leaves him for dead and puts the ball away.
Do not make them like him anymore. What more can you see?
Suarez switching the play to Neymar. Neymar, great opportunity. And already it's a goal for Barcelona. Messi was involved. Suarez was involved. Neymar applied a classy finish.
A sizzling hit from the midfield player from Juventus.
Nice turn from Sanchez.
And it's opened up. Rodriguez! Oh! Gio Brilliant!
Where it was heading, Zidane just shows it to Gilberto Silva and then pirouettes away from him.
The frozen tundra on a cold day, cold Saturday night in Toronto.
Wow.
Like, it was all set up, Joe.
You know, it was set up for us to revel in a great night for TFC. It was still a great night. It was still a great night. If you told us at the beginning of the year we would host an MLS Cup final, mm-hmm. I think most TFC fans would take it.
That means that would mean that we were in the final.
Yeah, you know, what a great year. We made it to the final. Like, it was a fantastic year for TFC.
Right on.
You know, there's no other way to look at it. We built on last year's success of making the playoffs. We beat in a fantastic two-leg semifinal Montreal, what's becoming our biggest rival, like you could say, Reg.
Right.
You know, legitimately growing with some, you know, like a, I would say, some friendly hatred, if there's any such thing.
Not with Montreal, no.
So hatred.
Yes.
And one of the most exciting semifinal. Like, that's what I take from that. That's one of the most exciting Toronto sports events I've ever witnessed, whether it be live watching on TV. It was fantastic.
The second leg game was just incredible.
Electric, right? So, I mean, we have to. You know, I hate hearing this. It's so Toronto. It's so Toronto. No, it's not so Toronto. It's beyond. It's beyond that. You know, and I think it's soccer, as they call it, we call it football, is different, and it is unique. And the way in which the TFC went on this journey should be celebrated and not, you know, looked on about, backed on as a disappointment. Yes, a disappointing end, but definitely not a disappointment, Rich. Right? I mean, do we agree on that?
The season was fantastic, and despite, well, me more than you, all my beef and complaining and Vanny out talk, and yeah, this team ready to play. Like you said, they built on what they did last year, which is what you want. I would say getting past the first round of the playoffs would have been a success, but actually, you know, playing the playoff game against Philadelphia, then beating what was supposed to be a strong New York team, beating them handily.
Yeah, and handily, right.
Yeah, of course. And then going and playing Montreal, everybody was rubbing their hands together. This is going to be amazing. Even if we lose, we made it further than we have. This is a great season. And to play a game like that in Montreal and then have to come back and do what they did, it was
back.
Just crazy. Yeah. So
give
I think
us a chance, right, Reg?
Yeah,
let's
for
think
sure.
About when we were watching on TV, Montreal, in the first 20 minutes, we're down 2-0.
Yeah.
Or three, and eventually three. I mean, we were like, wow, is this really happening?
Yep.
You know, and then we always say in every other sport, you know, sometimes we reference basketball, you know, our other favorite in terms of your best players have to be your best players.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any doubt that Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley, and except for the, you know, I'd say the final game and maybe the last game against Montreal, Giovinco, they were, I mean, especially Altidore and Bradley, they answered the call.
Definitely, definitely answered the call. And we'll get deeper into that as we dive into what was the MLS Cup here, hosted by the Toronto FC, which for all of you that follow the MLS, you know what the outcome was. But we'll discuss all that as we get into the show. But thanks for listening to the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. You can reach us on our website at footballweekly.com. That's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can catch us on Twitter at football, spelled FUTBOL_weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM. Lots of different ways you can get our podcast. You can subscribe via email. Every time there's a new podcast uploaded, you'll get an email saying so. So many things to talk about. We've been off for quite a long time, actually, I think.
Yeah, too long.
Christmas so and back. New Year's and all that stuff. You know, it got really busy. But we're back now. We're definitely back now. And we have a lot of things to talk about. So, Joe, let's get into it. We'll be right back after this.
How you doing? I'm Carmen Sacco from York University, and you're listening to Football Weekly Podcast with Reg and Joe.
So just to expand a little bit on what we were talking about in the intro, with the MLS Cup being in Toronto, and the final obviously being in Toronto with our beloved TFC, it was one of those, I've never been to a final where my team, like a professional final, I guess, where my team was in it that I was able to go to. And we didn't get tickets until maybe the Thursday before. Very excited. Very excited.
It was amazing. I mean, there was just a buzz around the city. But there was. And the buzz around the stadium, it was a great event to be at. Like, when you look back, I mean, the week and two after the disappointment of your team losing, not getting the result that you wanted. You know, I remember answering the question, saying, people saying, oh, too bad, you know, your team. Like the casual fan. Mm-hmm. Might have saw me on the street or at work. Oh, too bad. It wasn't that bad. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know.
It really wasn't.
Did they come out and perform better than the other team? Yes, they did.
100% they did.
You know, was it the best performance on both teams then? No. That's football. Dealing with the conditions. Yeah. Dealing with the atmosphere. Dealing with the night. Dealing with everything. You know, they played a game that, in all intents and purposes, any other night, they win, you know.
Yep.
Jozy Altidore, I mean, he gets absolutely robbed by Stephen Fry. And I think then we all probably figured, man, it's just not going to go our way tonight.
It's not going to happen. What a save. What a save, man.
Oh, what a world-class, game-changing, all the cliche that you want to insert, save.
For those of you that haven't seen the save, I'll post it in the in the container on the website. So when you go to this week's episode, you'll be able to watch the save. And it's just, I know we didn't hit it that hard. If he hit it a little bit harder, probably would have gone in. But even going the other way and reaching back and getting it,
he put it. Like, look at what Jozy had to do to get up to get it.
Yeah.
And then where it was headed. And I mean, let me say, you know, Tulsa and Ricketts, what a great job of getting that ball over and so on. He was fantastic. That could be another show in itself.
He had a chance, too, to end it, but...
You know, I just think, disappointing. Disappointing end to a more than successful, fantastic season that was, you know, TSC this year. They were fantastic. I mean, they had a great run. Their stars were their stars. You know, we'll talk about Giovinco after... but I just think, for me, Reg, it's going to be remembered as a fantastic season where this team made it to the MLS Cup final. We've seen teams in soccer, in football, win championships like Seattle did.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said this to me, and I really believe this, and I think they played a perfect, perfect road game.
They played a perfect road game, and they also played a perfect game when you know you're up against a team that's probably better than you.
Right, you know, and their two center backs were physical, dominant. You know, they had great goalkeeping, and Stephen Fry, like we've talked about, the obvious, you know. But, I mean, it just wasn't in the cards. We've seen this before, you know. We've seen it in Champions League's final. We've seen it in Champions League games. You know, we all recall the Chelsea that beat, you know, Barcelona. We all recall, you know, when, you know, Inter Milan beat Barcelona. Like these, I mean, these are just a few, and some of our listeners are probably saying, well, what about this one? Exactly. There's more.
There's tons.
I probably haven't given you the best examples.
Right.
That's football, you know. And I think sometimes North American fans, we just fall victim to comparing a football match final to an NBA final, an NBA game, an NHL game. Well, let's not.
Let's not.
Let's enjoy it for what it was. You know, were we upset? Sure we were. But did they come out and play? I thought so.
I'd be more upset if they lost and played like garbage.
Yeah, and didn't go after it, you know?
But being we're football guys, soccer guys. So we understand that there's times where you're going to be the worst team and win, and there's times you're going to be the best team and lose.
Absolutely, Reggie.
So you leave there, and believe you me, guys, if you weren't out there, it was freaking freezing out there. So, we were standing out there. So you're kind of upset that, I stood in the cold. But you know what? When we got back into the car, we just all looked at each other. It was just like, TFC should have won.
100%.
Like, they played amazing, and they lost.
They did everything absolutely.
And everybody in the car realizes that, like I said, sometimes the best team loses and the worst team wins. But
it sucks
that it's your team, and it sucks it's in the finals, but that's what happens sometimes.
That's right. And let's be fair. Those are the ideal conditions for both teams. And both teams made note of it. I know Giovinco got all the press because he went at it in, you know, the Twitter war with, well, let's say he didn't, but the Argos went off and, you know, and listen, he was asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, yes, it sounds like what it sounds like, but the field, as we know, Reg, we were down there, some people that we know that were on the field said that it was spray-painted green.
It was just like a cement or something?
Yeah, like it was choppy. So even Seattle was complaining.
Yeah.
So, and I think Javinkel's frustration is he wasn't 100% physically, right? Just like when, you know, the famous scene when he gets substituted and he smashes the, you know, his gloves, or he throws his gloves. You know, oh, wow, is there a rift between him and... No, of course not. He is frustrated because he couldn't give more and he couldn't be the Giovinco that he was.
You could see the frustration with Giovinco, because being from Canada, we've all played in that weather.
Yeah.
And it sucks. You don't want to get you don't want to get tackled. You don't want to get the ball hit against you. It's cold. My hands are cold. My feet are cold.
And throwing not being 100%, Reg.
Right. I don't think he was 100% from,
you know,
maybe three games ago.
We both, you know, defended most of our lives.
Yes.
And, you know, it's easier to do what we do than it is to the attackers.
Yeah, for sure.
They have to create the space. They got to be creating in general. I think this is, am I giving him a free pass? Hell yeah, I'm giving him a free pass.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely I am.
So you also know that there's going to be the guys that are like, no, we won't give him a free pass because he's your best player and this is the game that we've all been working for and you have to show up in this game, right?
Yeah, for sure, Reg. And I think, you know, if we knew that he had no injury concerns, Reg, fine. And I think this is why you can gut it out more in different sports. And people say, what are you talking about? You know, when you're carrying a football and stuff, and I think that's when, you know, he gets a lot of grief, and I might get a lot of grief for this, but meaning he has to make all of those decisions and those creative movements and so on, and he wasn't himself at all. Many argue that if it was a regular season game,
probably wouldn't play.
He wouldn't even have dressed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was a muscular injury from what we understand, Reg.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, to heal that quickly, and moreover, to play in a cold weather situation.
It's too negative.
It's a lot. Listen, I'm not making an excuse for him, but what I'm saying is we didn't see him at his best, and not because he just, you know, had a bad day. There was physical ailments there. And, you know, I'd rather focus on, man, I know he missed the PK, but Michael Bradley was fantastic in this game.
It's fantastic the whole playoffs.
Wasn't he, Reg? I mean, he was his engine and his motor and his ability to continuously press from minute one to 120. And, of course, a guy who, Reggie, might be the MVP if they win, and for me was the MVP of the playoffs regardless, was Jozy Altidore.
Yep. Played excellent.
He's fantastic.
Scored crucial goals when you needed them. He was strong. He held the ball. He was perfect counterpart to Giovinco up top. And perfect. It was always going to be hard to find someone that Giovinco could link with, being that Giovinco's on a higher level. And no disrespect to Altidore or anybody else who played up top, but he's on a higher level. He's played at a higher level. I mean, he's one of the best players, if not the best player that MLS has ever seen. So it was always going to be hard to find the correct counterpart for him to play with. Not just only for the other player, but for Giovinco to actually say, you know what, I can pass this guy the ball and I know something's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So,
and you could see the chemistry, Reg.
Yeah, for sure.
Never mind in just the assist, but like you said, who am I looking for? What am I looking for? More importantly, again, what you've mentioned is I understand what he's going to do, that higher level thinking stuff and so on, the protecting of the ball, you know, the work rate, the finishing. A complete MLS striker is Jozy Altidore.
Right.
That's
how you want to do, right?
Right. And maybe we have a guy in our midst of like Kyle Aaron.
Right. You know? Big, fast.
Orlando City's Toronto Canadian striker. Maybe that's where we see with Kyle Aaron, you know? So why the theme of Kyle Aaron in this? Because the Canadiana in this MLS thing was good, right? I mean, Will Johnson, Cheryl Osorio. We wanted more Canadians, maybe, but you know what? For just Toronto and for us, Reg, to be able, like you mentioned, to be able to watch a final in our city
with our home team.
It was a special feeling, wasn't it, Reg?
It was great. It was great. All day, even I know we played Friday night and everyone was talking about it. It's excited. Where are you sitting? Everybody was going. And it's just like,
That's right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, the whole day you're just sitting down watching soccer. I was like, I'm going to watch TFC tonight. They're going to in the final.
That's right.
And then as soon as you start getting towards the stadium, you just see all the people. And it was a great atmosphere. And if that's how finals are and people's, I've never seen like a NBA final or anything like that live. And if that's how it is and your home team's in it, that's just,
it's incredible,
you wish for that every year, don't you?
Absolutely. And to dream of, you know, again, growing up playing in the GTA, growing up playing in Southern Ontario, we're not playing in Canada. We would never have fathomed this.
Right.
Dreamed it. Sitting with young fans who one day we're going to see them there, you know, are a good friend of ours. Mm. You know, I went with, you know, his son was with us. You know, the young lad was saying, hey, buddy, I told him, one day this could be you. You know, and why not?
But it also gives these young kids something to look forward to. Like,
absolutely,
it's one thing to watch Champions League final in May on the TV and say, oh, I wish I could play. But it's another thing to watch your hometown team, or you're maybe two or three levels away from actually making it to it. It's a realistic goal if you work hard and you know you get yourself in the right space and if you're right place, right time type of thing. But it is possible, you know, you're going to have coaches that are going to have connections in certain places. And, you know, if you keep working hard, it just might be you playing at BMO Field in the finals one day, right?
And it's not out of the realm anymore. It's a legitimate possibility. I think now it's a reality. And I think that's the difference.
Right.
Now it's a reality.
Right.
And they've seen it. Reggie, will be an expectation.
Right. Well, you can only wish, right?
I know. This sounds like a loving for us, for PFC and the MLS. But it actually was. I mean, you know, we loved it.
We did love the TFC this season. We did love the MLS. But, Joe, I got a couple of questions in the final. As great as the final was, you're playing in overtime. Okay. Giovinco's gone this far. You're 10 minutes away from... forgive me if I've got the timing wrong. 10 or 15 minutes away. Oh, I think but, 10.
Yeah, sure.
Away from going into PKs, why did he take Giovinco off?
I think he asked, Reg.
Do you think Giovinco asked to come off?
I think these are all assumptions, I think. But from what I understand, I could be totally wrong. And if someone knows out there, let us know. From what I understood, they were asked of him if he could keep going.
He said no?
And I think the injury was that big. But you're right.
Couldn't take a PK? These guys, listen to me. If we were playing against a team like Montreal and we have a chance, they have a chance, we have a chance, they have a chance, and he wants to come off.
Yeah, no,
okay, whatever, fine. Yeah. But Seattle was never scoring in that game. never going to score in that game. They had three shots, zero on target in 120 minutes. They were never going to score in that game.
If
we don't score, it's going to PKs. I need you to take a PK instead of Justin Morrow. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, what's the logic in that, right?
I don't know I thought Vanny took him off because he wasn't doing much in the overtime or whatever. But if he has to come off, then that's a different story. I can't blame Vanny for that.
That I can see, Reg.
Yeah. I want to hope it's neither of the situations we brought up, but it has to be one of them. And I don't know which one I'd be more upset with, if he asked to come off or if Vanny decided to take him off.
Yeah, I got to think to take Javinko off, it had to be because of an injury concern. Had to be.
Yeah.
Because who's going to fault you, Reggie, for keeping him on? No one.
Yeah, but what successful go-for-the-jugular coach is taking off his best player? You have coaches that would turn their back on players that want to come off. I can't see who. Mourinho's not taking off Javinko.
No, that's why I really think, Reggie, he might have asked.
Yeah.
Or they might have asked him, can you keep going? How bad is it?
I'd really like to know what the injury is. I know he did his abdomen earlier or last season. He did the abdomen.
I think it might have been his calf, right?
Against Montreal, yes. I believe. And then he played for like a couple of... But no one was around him, though. Like, he didn't even get tackled. No one was around him, and he went down on his calf.
It was a muscular injury, yeah.
He came off about 5 minutes later, and...
Yes, Reg, the other side of it is Seattle. Could it have happened to, that's a great organization over there.
Yes.
Hats off to them. Congratulations to the Seattle Sounders.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard us talk about, their players. We've talked about Jordan Morris. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't have a great game, but, here's a kid who just wins. He was at Stanford, won a college cup, scored the winning goal in the college cup, I believe.
Yep.
Last year, goes and plays the U.S. men's national team. I think he scored in his debut or close to it, one of those games,
mm-hmm.
Against Mexico. Was I believe with Leverkusen or someone in Germany, decided to, he signed a contract with Seattle. So, good for them. They're a great organization. They do things the right way. Congratulations to the Seattle Sounders. I mean, as much as that hurts as, a TFC guy.
And congratulations to the... 500 fans that traveled halfway across the country.
Might have been more than that. They were loud. They were near me.
Yeah,
they were awesome.
They were there. They were loud, and there was a lot of them. Seattle to Toronto. That's a trek and a half. You ain't driving that.
And let's be fair. If you've watched MLS at all, you got to know Seattle Sounders fans are fans.
Yeah, right.
And they don't like they fill Quest Field, guys. Like they fill
that place NFL is huge. Stadium. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So good on them, and congratulations to the Sounders. For me, they're full value because they've been a class organization for me mm-hmm. for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and kudos to them. Yeah, it hurts, but I think if we can have the success that Seattle's had consistently,
it's going to be tough to get back to the final. It's always tough to get back to the final, right?
It is for sure, and it's MLS, and what we learned about MLS is year to year to get that consistency right is difficult,
right?
But I think when you have the pillars that we do in terms of our players,
mm-hmm.
we finally have that stability. I think that we were talking last year, Reg,
right?
And where it lacked. So you know what? Great MLS Cup final. Don't worry, we'll rip on some things maybe in our next show that we like. But for today, we're gonna we said we were gonna keep it positive, weren't we? Didn't we, Reg?
I guess so. I won't talk about Freddy. What we'll talk about, but to be a little bit more positive, I know we were speaking about the kid that was in the stands watching this game and aspiring to be one of the players on the field. The MLS draft's coming up, so we finally are going to see some of those kids that aren't kids anymore going to pursue their professional dreams, right?
That's right. So currently, Reg, going on in Los Angeles, there's the MLS Combine at the StubHub Center.
Right.
And then, there'll be the National Conference, Coaching Conference, that a lot of coaches across North America and the world will be at, most of North America, and MLS coaches. And, of course, ending with the MLS Super Draft.
Right.
So, let's deal with, before we get to Canadians, which great Canadian content,
right.
CanCon, that is there. We'll talk about the guys that we've been saying for a long time. And yes, this is where we boast about what we do here. We've been telling you about this guy
for a
long time. We've been him.
Told you so moment or what?
You know, and we've been saying it, Reg. You know, and you know, I was privileged enough to go watch him in October, finally live. Mm-hmm. Russell Cicerone, he's an American kid from Michigan. Fantastic player, lot of heart, nose for the net, loves to take people on. Had a great career at University of Buffalo. Played with one of the kids that we've highlighted here, Daniel Cramarosa, at Canadian kid, left back, D-mid, crafty little left footer. Played with him. So Russell, who was the MAC player of the year last year, the first UB player ever, I think, to go to the MLS Combine. We've been telling you, watch out for this kid. We've been saying it for a long time. In most mock drafts, they have Russell going top 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
One of the picks I've seen, drafts, I've seen him go to Colorado, possibly. I know Columbus Crew, DC United, very interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today, Russell actually scored in one of the Combine games. So,
yeah.
Told you so moment. We wish Russell Cicerone all the best.
For sure, Football Weekly. Good kid. For sure.
Good family. You know, played for Stu Riddle at Buffalo. So, good luck to you, Russell. I know it's a special moment to you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Canadian content, Reg.
Yes, let's get to that.
Yeah. So, we have, I believe, five players that are Generation Adidas players. They're Canadian players. There's five Generation Adidas players. Two of them are Canadian. And I think those players are actually three. Anyway, we'll post that stuff, Reg. We'll talk about it more in the next time. But there's some Canadians to look for. Adonijay Reed out of A&B
mm-hmm.
Academy.
Where's
here
he?
In King City in York Region. Okay. Fantastic work.
Okay.
Work from Vestam and his crew. No, congratulations. And Adonijay starred in League One. As a young 15, 16-year-old, was joint top scorer in the league last year and so on. Fantastic player. We had another player, Shamit Shomi. I'm probably going to mess up that name. I'm so sorry. But a FC Edmonton product. And he was signed a contract with the MLS. And then there's one kid, another 1995-born kid, that Dino Cramarosa, when he was on our show, talked about out of Ajax, Ontario. All this kid has done it at every level, has scored and gotten better, and a really great kid, Brian Wright, out of the University of Vermont,
okay.
The Catamounts. What a great name, right? The Catamounts, amazing. had a great career at Vermont, just kept scoring goals, and so on. This year, they were in the NCAA tournament, so good on you, Brian Wright. We also have from our good friends at Sigma, again, turning out players consistently, you know, with opportunities.
You need to get that guy on the show.
Bobby, yeah, and his brother do a great job at Sigma. Good friends of ours and so on. Again, they deserve kudos. They brought you, of course, Kyle Aaron, Kyle Becker, and so on and so on. Emery Welshman, and others. I know there's others, but, you know, good on them. They have Kwame Reggie.
Awa,
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
From the University of Connecticut. Okay, great program in the University of Connecticut. Big-time players always coming out of there. Kyle Aaron out of there. And, of course, others that have gone on to start in MLS and so on. So good luck to Kwame and also Chris Nanko from Syracuse University. And their great staff, coaching staff led by Ian McIntyre and his great coaching staff and what they do at Syracuse. Again, there's the Cuse again with another potential top pick. They also will have a Generation Adidas player, I believe, in Miles Robinson, who's not Canadian, but a great player. Okay, out of that program. Am I missing any other Canadians, Rich?
I just looks like I it's an up and coming time for the young guys, the young Canadians at least, anyway, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic, Reg, and I believe there's also some other Canadians that might be making some noise in the draft. Could be Sergio Camargo, could be Alex Hallis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other guys. If I'm missing you guys, I apologize. Send me a note. Hey, we'll talk about you. We'll let you know.
Yeah, for
our
sure.
listeners, if I forgot someone, these are just quickly, we want to say, you know, like you said, Reg, great time for Canadian football, Canadian soccer, and the MLS, and these great opportunities, and we wish all of our boys the very best, and we want to, you know, cheer you on whatever team you're on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I love to hear about the Canadian content. I love to hear that, you know, the national team coach, whoever it is at the time when these guys are ready to play, will have a pool of selection to pick from instead of retreading the old, same old stories. And actually, the new pool of players should push the the older group to get better as well, which is only going to bode well for the
absolutely,
success
Rich.
Of a national team, right?
Yeah. So, and you know, you've heard me say it a lot, Reg, about our, you know, the path of the NCAA. Reggie, you're a product. Now your alma mater is a great example of that. We do have a Canadian kid there now at UMBC.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that path is, we've talked about this before, legitimate, more than legitimate path. And our Emma and our TFC guys, you know, are there too. Alex Bono from Syracuse, you know, held us in there as a young keeper. Jay Chapman from Michigan State, and so on and so on. There's a lot of guys that chose the MLS route, and, you know, it worked out for them.
Definitely.
And again, we mentioned these opportunities, Reg. They're more for our players, and it's great. We mentioned, you know, League One helping these guys out and so on. So it all works in tandem, right? So
yeah, definitely.
Reg, so one last thing.
And yeah.
This is me on the soapbox, but it's about Canadian stuff. You know, we just had the Sigma Showcase. They bring coaches from all over North America, Canadian universities, NCAA, to showcase these kids. And a lot of these kids, like Nanko, played in this. Also, the Vaughn Showcase coming up March 9th and 10th. A lot of the coaches will be down there. And the Vaughn Soccer Club, Patrice Geyser, with that showcase and so on. We've had these guys on the show. So we're trying to bring that CanCon, Sanford Carabin, you know,
on one of his. As well.
And we haven't talked to him in a bit, and he's been on our show. He just sent a couple of kids, Rafael Reynolds, who was from Oakland University, recent grad. And of course, Matthew Zakos, who, a good kid, a goalkeeper, played in League One as well. And they're off to play. I think they left this week, 2 days ago, to play in Australia in the second division. So congratulations.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow, I saw
you tweet out his name. I didn't know what he was doing, but if he's going.
And I believe he's a follower of us. So good for you, Matt. We're wishing you well. You're a good kid, and keep working. And hopefully you and Rafi work out and do a good job there in Tasmania, Reg.
Well, that was a lot, actually, Joe.
Did you like that?
That was great.
Oh, maybe you didn't. I don't know.
It was great. We talked a lot about Canadian content. Talked about the best Canadian professional team in MLS. I don't care. I'll say it. That's fine. I did. So
bring it, Montreal fans. We're good with it. Bring it, Vancouver. We're okay.
Yeah, we're okay, guys. It's okay. You saw what happened. It's okay. So right now we're going to switch gears and we're going to go to Europe. And actually, Joe, do you want to do... Every year this list comes out and it makes my blood boil. Okay? Wow. Last season, this list came out and we were looking at each other. I think you were in studio and we looked at each other like, I don't even understand this. What the hell's happening?
I can remember watching that with you. I remember looking at the screen going, here we are a year later.
And we're still looking at the screen with the same names. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about the FIFA Pro World 11, and you know,
are
what,
you talking about La Liga 11?
It might as well be La Liga and maybe a little bit of Bundesliga 11. Maybe. But you know what, Joe? We'll get into that after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right, yeah. So stay tuned, guys. So from North America to England, it's usually the other way around for the MLS, from England to North America. But
yeah.
We'll start over. Well, what do you want to do first? You want to do the World 11 or you want to save that for last?
Let's save that World 11 for last. Let's get them off with a... Let's leave them with a bang.
Okay, for sure. So we're going to start off and end off, actually. We're only going to do one league this week, and we're going to do... We flipped a coin, so I don't want to hear anybody talk about EPL. Always EPL. We flipped a coin, and it was EPL. We're going to talk about EPL. Next week, we'll talk about another league. The week after, we'll talk about another league. Don't worry about it.
Hey, listen, the EPL didn't take a break, so we're going to talk about the EPL.
Exactly. Yeah, they were on over Christmas. Is Serie A and La Liga even back yet?
You know, Germany's off till when? May? So, you know what? I think they all started. But anyway, the EPL did not take a break, so we'll talk about them.
We have a team that went on a pretty significant run, I would say.
Wow. I mean.
In Chelsea.
Wow.
It hurts me to say, but...
Well, 13 straight, Reg?
I believe so.
Well, what hurts you more, Reg?
Yeah, you know what? A negative 1-1 draw would have been perfect.
Would have been fine for you, yeah.
Which everyone, with everyone getting hurt, that would be great, but
yeah.
You can't have that.
So we got a 13-game winning streak by Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Conte switches to this 3-4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. He went with a variation of three at the back and so on. You know, what strikes me about this winning streak, Reg, is look at the guys that were cast-offs in last year's team.
Yeah, look at Victor Moses is out there doing things, right?
Unbelievable, isn't it, Reggie?
Yeah.
Dare I say Pedro?
Yeah.
Diego Costa, like...
That's the Diego Costa they were banking on getting, right?
That's right, absolutely, right. Like, just a prolific scorer, poacher, etc., right?
Strong as an ox, too.
Yeah, like, they went on this tear, and, you know, they rode the energy of Antonio Conte, and they were prepared and all that stuff. They went on a roll that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
You know, so, wow, they've established themselves as... Well, they are the front runner as of today. So, as we know, Reg, February comes. Mm-hmm. But what does Chelsea not have to worry about, Reggie?
Champions League.
We've said it a long time. So now you have Antonio Conte, who I believe in his first run of wins, or one of them with Juventus, either they were knocked out of the Champions early, or they weren't in it.
Or they weren't in it, yeah.
You know, you saw a really strong run. So the difference is the fixture schedule in the EPL, which is... tougher than anywhere in the world.
Crazy.
They proved it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that we can all agree on. And they went on this run. So, like you said, Victor Moses. And, you know, cameos by Cesc Fabregas, who's been, wow.
He's been pretty good this season, you know.
He's been pretty good. Matic, okay, we knew what. And there he is.
Yeah.
N'Golo Kante.
Right.
We talk about all the skill and creativity that is needed to win and the creativity that is celebrated. You have N'Golo Kante,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, like Ranieri told us last year, dilly-dee, amazing. But, he just runs, and he just works. And if he doesn't represent modern football, I don't know what does. His work rate is infectious.
He picks off every ball across the middle. He can pass out of trouble. He has an engine that doesn't stop. He's probably, if you were to end it right now, and I know Diego Costa's on a run, that's crazy as well, but it might be the player of MVP of Chelsea, if you ask.
I think he is, for me. I mean, he just transformed them. You know, people will say, what are you talking about? There's this, like you said, Diego Costa.
Yeah,
like,
and wow, we're defensive guys, so we watch the game different from the guys. It's not just whoever scored the most goals, okay?
Well, let's take a look at... we're talking about how valuable he's been to Chelsea.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's not MVP, I score the most goals. It's who's most valuable to the team. And
Reg,
I think Conte is probably that guy.
Well, look who misses him a lot, too.
Oh, Leicester City, yeah. It's a hole in midfield now, right?
Like, there's a hole there. Then, you know, he was the glue there. Let's be recovering balls and
Everybody talks about Mahrez and Vardy and Drinkwater, and you take away N'Golo Kante, and it's a different season. You know what I mean?
They're all still there.
Yeah, they're all still there, and one guy's missing, and it's not the same. It's not the same Leicester City.
You know, the glue in the heart. So Chelsea's streak comes to an end.
Yep.
And I know for Reggie and all of our Gunners fans. You know, people ask us, man, you have a lot of Gunner talk. Well, we have a lot of Gunners who follow us, so. We like to please our public.
Yes.
So deal with it in that way. Mm-hmm. But, to all of our Gunner fans, I was thinking of, oh boy, wow, here you are watching.
And you want them to lose. You want Chelsea to drop points, but you don't want those guys to get the points.
So for all of you guys that are figuring out what we're talking about, of course, Chelsea's big streak, 13-game winning streak comes to an end at White Hart Lane, which obviously is the home of Tottenham Hotspur. We got to get that out there, Reg. So, who scores two goals? Dele Alli, now with three straight games, I believe, with two goals.
Yep.
Wow. So, great finishes with his head.
I'm not going to chime in, so you can talk about Tottenham.
I thought I'd be on my own. But here we are this is for our football junkies and our true football analysts and who look at the game more than just the obvious, and we have a lot of you guys. We appreciate you guys. So, great headers. We talked about Conte, how good he was. But in the first goal, especially, came in the second. A little late to close down a pretty good player, in Eriksen. You give any player at that level a lot of time, he picks up Dele Alli back in the net. Happened twice, so two times they're late in closing down the ball. Not to get too technical with our terms, but, twice late closing down the ball, these guys were class players. Eriksen, dare I say, Ozil. And so on, Coutinho. And there's a ton, I get it. If I didn't mention your favorite player, I apologize. But point being is, the obvious is the header or, the shot. But it's always what happens before that. So anyway, long story, the Spurs end Chelsea's win streak. So Reggie, as an Arsenal fan,
yes.
Our Gunners,
yes.
Listening,
yes.
Is this the year that Tottenham, dare I say, I'm not the first guy to say this, I'm stealing this from...
Only 1 point ahead, everybody.
Will
relax.
They finish ahead of the Gunners?
How many years straight has it been? 21? I would say it's going to go on to 22 this season. It's only one game ahead of us.
I am not jumping on the Spurs bandwagon.
Okay.
Here's what I think the top four will be.
Okay.
Chelsea.
Is this an order?
Not in order. Chelsea.
No, put it in order. Put it in order. You have Chelsea winning the league?
EPL.
Oh my God. Okay.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Manchester City.
What? You have Tottenham coming out of the top four?
Tottenham will finish sixth.
Sixth? Who jumps them? United?
Manchester United.
Come on, Joe.
Am I crazy with these?
They're 12 points back right now. What's happening? 12 is tough to make up. It's February now. Where are we going? What are we going till? May?
Reggie, don't be surprised if Manchester United cracks the top four, if not three.
Okay. What's the date? Time? We got to write this down.
Write it down.
You got Leicester last year, so maybe I shouldn't... go against you on this one.
We mentioned it before.
Yeah.
What does Manchester United not have to worry about?
Champions League as well.
Europa. Don't tell me Europa League. And again, what people say, why Arsenal? Reggie and our many Gunner fans, who are you guys preparing for in Champions League coming up?
Bayern Munich.
Right. And again, this Bayern Munich team, by the way, is very beatable.
Yeah.
This is not the Bayern of years past.
Right.
We'll make that very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
It might serve them better, for Arsenal. And here's the thing. We did a couple of years ago, we did, where I was provided some therapy for our Gunners fans. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
Because relax. And I take that from Aaron Rodgers from, American football.
Yes.
Relax, mm-hmm. Gunners fans. One of two things will happen.
Okay.
If you beat Bayern Munich, holy cow, you're going to probably have another parade in North London.
Okay.
And you'll be moving on. If you get knocked out, relax even more because
focus
your title or aspirations to move up in the table will go up.
Yeah. Yeah.
This player that you wanted to kill in Olivier Giroud, all he does is score and assist.
Did you see the goal he scored? The Scorpion?
Give him a break.
You see the Scorpion?
Great goal. What about his comeback that he led against Bournemouth?
Oh, yeah. A goal and a two assists?
You have a player in Alexis Sanchez who's, Reg, we've mentioned his versatility as a 9, as a 7, as a 10. You have Mesut Ozil.
Right.
You have, Mustafi, who might have had a tough game when I watched against Bournemouth, but overall been a great
first
signing.
Game back after 4 weeks off of the hamstring.
That's
fine.
I think we need to relax.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Either way, that champions coming out of champions,
yeah.
Whether they go through or they don't, be something.
Yeah. So what?
I really, yeah. Sorry.
Where do you have your buddy Pep? And I'm not talking about the Ballon d'Or winner Pep. Our Pep. I'm talking about Guardiola.
Yeah. There's a shout out for Pep. listen, he's admitted, and I urge all of you to go and maybe Reg, we can post a link for it.
Oh,
interview. Did you get to see it, Reg?
No, I didn't, actually.
Yeah, Pep with Thierry Henry is fantastic. Pep, admitting his, things that he's struggling with and so on. It's great. I won't give it away. Maybe we can talk about it another day. But, yeah, he still is a guy that I revere and so on. But I will say this. I think the ability for Conte to embrace what is the EPL, what is his squad, the ability for Klopp. Remember, in Klopp's second year. Let's all remember that.
Mm.
Because I think when Pep comes back next year, then let's judge him after he's done at Man City.
Right.
Right? So I think those two just have the upper hand right now. I just really see those. I mean, I'm being Mr. Obvious here, but those two, and especially when you distance yourself like Chelsea did, you don't have to worry about champions. You stand a good chance.
Right,
don't
definitely.
Count out the special one yet.
They're 12 points back, Joe. They're 12 points back from fourth place.
Nah, I just don't count them out, Reggie.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I was looking at Everton. Oh, they're only 3 points back. Oh,
Reggie,
I was looking at Everton.
You know, Reg.
Oh my.
Long ago when we did this show.
Oh my, you might be right.
I was hoping for two players that maybe would falter and maybe end up in, you know, football purgatory in AC Milan.
Right.
With Mkhitaryan and Gundogan. Well, Gundogan went off and started playing fantastic. He got hurt, I know that, so I wish him well. So that wasn't happening. He was coming to AC Milan. And then I thought, there's still hope. Mkhitaryan, Mourinho's not picking him. And then he did pick him.
And then look
and never mind the obvious scorpion kick goal. Yeah. But he's changed them as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's really coming with a good run of form, and he's got Zlatan involved. And, you know, they have this, like, Martial. Like, this is a, I just think, and Rashford. I mean, these are guys that can change games.
And who haven't you mentioned? the most expensive player in the world, right? Pogba?
Yeah. Well, even he, Reg, in the last 3-4 games, has improved his form.
Yeah.
Significantly. You know, so they have that. Mourinho gets a center back. I think that's what, that's what he's looking for.
Right.
You know,
Phil Jones back there, right? So.
Oh, jeez, it's painful. God bless him, but jeez, it's painful.
Yeah. I don't think that guy shouldn't be on your team squad.
Oof.
Unless it's Carling Cup or something like that. He shouldn't be in your team squad in a Premier League game. That's just
me. Reg, I gave you an impromptu, not planned prediction.
Yeah? Wow. You want mine?
Yeah, of course.
Everybody knows I'm an Arsenal fan, but at the same time, I'm a realist as well. Okay? I want my squad to come in first place, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. It's too much. I think it's too much. 7 points, even 7 points is a lot. Like when you have to go into February or the middle of January and February and March and hope teams lose and hope that you win, it's going to get difficult. It's kind of easier just, you know, to beat Chelsea and maintain, you know, have a little bit of a margin for error. And at the same time, like we discussed, not have to worry about traveling to Moscow on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? So, I have Chelsea finishing first. I have Arsenal finishing second.
I can see that.
I have Liverpool third, and I have Tottenham fourth.
Hmm.
I don't have City.
You went safe.
I don't have City in it. I don't have United in it. They can play in the Europa League.
I still think Tottenham is going to come to earth. They're playing fantastic football, I got to admit. I know you don't want to talk about them.
I don't.
But they are playing great football.
Yeah, I still put them fourth. So, I mean, I hope no one in red gets angry at me. But we're still above them, right? So
you put them above, yeah. So everyone could just relax.
Yeah. But I still have Arsenal making a pretty good push at the end.
I think
if you watch the games, we have Lucas Perez who came from Deportivo La Coruña.
Fantastic goal he scored.
Oh, yeah, he's starting to get his feet. Listen, EPL is not an easy league to come to. It's not just
going to wherever
and playing. It's a tough league to come to and play, especially if you're playing in a league like Spain where it's not as physical, it's more technical. This is more physical. So if you're a slight player, it's going to be harder for you. But now I think he's getting his feet wet a little bit, and Giroud's on fire, and Sanchez is on fire, and Walcott started off on fire, and Welbeck's back now. So they're going to make a push. It's just how far they can push. And what happens to the other teams dropping points as well, right?
So. Yeah, you just mentioned, I think, again, that's a good segue into, again, back to what we said. I urge everyone to watch this, and maybe if we can post it. It says exactly that, but the physicality of the EPL and the adjustment. And it's not an easy thing. It's not. It is totally.
For coaches, players, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because all of the best coaches and all the best players are coming here, how can it be, you know, can it not be the best, you know, overall? We're talking top to bottom, and I think that's what we always fight with, we always struggle with, and, you know, I defend other leagues. I defend them to that their entertainment value, that they are difficult. But top to bottom, what is becoming the EPL is tough. It's tough to win if you don't adjust to the style, to the, you know, the schedule, and so on, and it is a slap in the face sometimes, you know, wake up call as to, hey, you know, this is what you're in for, and you got to be ready. So, you know, a lot of these players, like you said, yeah, they've gone into it, you know, and look, think of a lot of players that have come to a team like Arsenal who have struggled,
right?
You know, and there's a good example, you know, struggle. And again, I urge you to listen to Guardiola.
I'll put a link. I'll put a link to the interview on the website as well.
It's fantastic. It really is. And you know, and I think a team like Arsenal, per se, that always tries to play attractive football.
Right.
You call it champagne football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that style, even the EPL, is it always the winning style? You know, Conte makes no. This is Antonio Conte. Makes no qualms about it. It's you know, his style is efficient. It's full of heart. It's full of character. I mean, look at what he built with Juventus. It's the most organized, efficient team. It's so organized and efficient that, you know, Allegri's been able to carry that on.
And Italy in the Euros, right?
That absolutely, Reggie, absolutely. So, you know, the ability to adjust to that and to be that way is big. And, you know, I think, listen, when I watch Arsenal and I watch Arsenal Bournemouth, they come back from 3-0. And the stat that really stood out, and I think why Arsenal has more teeth than they had in the past, for our Gunner fans, is that I think they mentioned a stat like how many goals that they've scored in the last 15 minutes of games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're either near the top or at the top.
Right.
You know, Arsenal just has to stay in games. You know, but going down 3-0 to Bournemouth at Bournemouth,
but that's thing about this squad. It's everyone.
That's when titles are lost.
All the fans, yeah. All the Arsenal fans look at it and say, "We only play one half."
So it's very true.
We're hoping that it's the second half we decide to play in, but sometimes we come out on fire in the first half. Take Man City, for example. Come out and we were the best. We played them off the park. Second half, it's just like they put the reserve team in. What the hell happened at halftime?
Yeah, for sure.
And then you go to Bournemouth and you play like a Friday night Aurora beer league team, and then the second half you come out and you could have beat Barcelona probably. I don't get it.
It's the same thing that I've always said about Arsenal. Who is the guy, whether it be by example, taking the paint off the walls in the dressing room?
Who is the guy on Arsenal that does that?
Yeah, like who's the true leader of the Gunners?
I don't think they have that guy.
Yeah, you know, so I think we talked about a guy like N'Golo Kanté.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that Arsene didn't get him. Shocked because the French angle, of course.
Yeah,
the
midfield's packed.
Reggie, I think what we've learned is that he's worth it. Yeah. And he's worth getting rid of someone who's maybe a more elegant footballer. Yeah. I think you put in a guy like N'Golo Kanté on Arsenal, and you got yourself the missing formula.
Well, they bought Xhaka.
They need a warrior.
They bought Xhaka, and they had Cockle in there. So I think they thought they were safe with that type of those
for
two.
Sure. But I think Xhaka, Xhaka's been a great player for them. A good player. Yeah. Solid. I'm talking about the grit and the teeth, the foaming at the mouth. You know, I think of, you know, one of our great guests, Dino, always talked about this. Like, who's going to really get stuck in and just shoulder? I mean, you know, I know we use that cliche, stuck in, but who's going to take the team by the scruff of the neck and by that effort? And to me, that's where we talk about Arsenal a lot. That's, for me, if they had that, it's not close for them every year. Identity, we mentioned that millions of times with Arsenal. Yeah. Arsenal's identity has probably been Arsene Wenger. Well, and maybe that's the problem.
That's the problem. 20 years. Now Ozil comes out and says, hey, I'll sign back if Wenger's back. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so, you know, that was interesting that he said that. And again, I think, you know, this is, listen, I said it, I'll leave it at this. I think either way, it'll be telling for Arsenal. If they get by Bayern, that's a great, great thing. If they don't, they got to quickly regroup and channel all that into really giving it a push.
Yeah, for sure.
There's, again, my second Captain Obvious statement of the pod. So, anyway.
It's a true statement. So, hopefully, Reggie, this next coming week will be as exciting as the last two were in the EPL anyway. But anyways.
Yeah.
What's up?
So, I guess our only tidbit that happened over the break, too, right before it, Juventus and AC Milan played for the Italian Super Cup.
Yep.
Meant something. AC Milan actually won. Beat Juventus in PKs.
Told you.
Yeah, so, you know.
I told you.
Showing a bit of life. Juventus is still very, very strong. Juventus will win another championship, Scudetto, this year. that's for sure. And maybe challenging champions, but, you know, showing a little bit of life, AC Milan, so Super Cup win, so we'll see. Again, this 18-year-old keeper, Gigi Donnarumma, making a great save on Dybala in the PK. So, but yeah, Reg, that's our, we did a lot today.
Well, what do you think? Juve doesn't lose at home, eh? So it's going to be tough for anybody coming into that place.
25 wins in a row?
Something like that. I read that. I was like, what?
20, jeez. Oh,
gosh.
Yeah, that's not even close.
It's not fair, but anyways.
That's, they're not, that no one's winning that league other than them.
And this is why we, I'm not going to get into it. The last thing we're going to, talk about is, I see it every year and it makes me sick.
Let him have it, Reg. Give it to him.
We're talking about the fifth pro, FIFA World 11. And I'm just going to read off the names. You can just actually go to last year's list and read off the same names. It's pretty much the same team. In net, Manuel Neuer from Bayern Munich. Defenders.
Yeah.
Danny Alves.
Oh, who are they? There they have him as Juventus player, but we all know he's from Barcelona.
Here's Barcelona and Juventus.
Yeah.
Gerard Pique from Barcelona.
Not this year.
Sergio Ramos from Real Madrid. Marcelo from Real Madrid. So this is the best. This is the best wing. These are the best four. Okay, remember last year we talked about this, and somebody actually got back to us and said it's not by position. So it's not the best right back, two center backs. It's just four defenders. There could have been four center backs, four right backs. It could have been four of any back. These are the four best defenders in the world.
Yeah, let's talk. And again, we're talking about, good point you say that. Let's talk about the calendar year.
Yes.
You're telling me. Okay, just name everybody, Reg. Keep going.
All right. So the midfielders there have a three midfielder set. So they're playing a 4-3-3. Luka Modric from Real Madrid.
Yes, and I had said Rakitic. I made the mistake. Yeah, it's Modric. Yeah.
Okay. Toni Kroos from Real Madrid. Andres Iniesta from Barcelona. Forwards are Lionel Messi from Barcelona. Luis Suarez from Barcelona. Cristiano Ronaldo from Real Madrid. So out of the 11 players, only one of them doesn't play in La Liga. And I'm counting Dani Alves at Barcelona because it's from last year, right?
Me too, because if anything, that's where they're judging his work, because at Juventus he wasn't. I mean, come on. Right. He just started there this year.
Exactly. So you have every outfield player is from La Liga. Every single outfield player is from La Liga. How can this be true? Can it be true?
Not one player from
EPL.
EPL. Not one player.
Serie A.
You know, I mean, nothing. Okay. In a year where let's not even discuss, like, let's not even go with, like, not even one player from the EPL, which is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But judging in a year where they had the Euro, was there a better center back? Or out of those guys.
Bonucci, man.
Bonucci. I mean, look at Bonucci. I don't get this. We saw Italy play Spain.
Yeah.
Was Pique. Pique and Ramos were actually exposed.
Well yeah, on a world level. Listen, we've talked about this before. When you have the ball for 95% of the game, everybody's going to look amazing.
You know,
Goalie's going to, De Gea's going to look amazing back there. Pique's going to look like he's unstoppable.
And nothing against those guys, but I'm sorry, in the calendar year, they weren't the best 11.
No chance.
Marcelo?
He made it last year, too. I don't understand.
David Alaba, did they put him as a left back? Like, his. Because I know he plays midfield, too.
I know, yeah. I think Bayern was using him as a left back for a little bit.
Because, I mean, he's pretty damn good to me.
Isn't he better than Marcelo and Alves?
I mean, wow.
It's a popularity contest, probably, and it's just the same old names every year. You play for Barcelona, you guys are the best team in the world, we're going to pick five from you. Real Madrid plays well, they won Champions League, we'll put five from there, and then we'll throw in Manuel Neuer, because we can't pick the goalie from Barcelona, because no one knows
Buffon,
who he is.
Outplayed him this year.
Of course. You know? And I'll get to the second team. Second team, yep. I'm glad you said Buffon. He's in the net.
Yeah.
The David Alaba, who we talked about at Bayern Munich, is one of the defenders. Pepe from Real Madrid. Thiago Silva from PSG. Boateng from Bayern Munich. In the midfield, you have Ozil, Busquets, and Pogba. Up front, Neymar, Zlatan, and Griezmann. Griezmann should have been on the first team. I don't care what 100%. Anyone says.
Yeah, I think he.
And you can take out Luis Suarez. I don't care. Griezmann has to be on the first team.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when you start an international competition,
mm-hmm.
it's got to kind of trump just having a great year domestically, because he had a great year domestically as well as a great year, you know, internationally.
Yeah, internationally, yeah.
I mean, he was a top scorer in Euro, wasn't he? Yeah. Close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, team went in the final. I mean.
Sounds
good to me.
I don't understand it. I don't understand.
You can almost flop the defenders for, like, swap the second team for the first.
Well, again, the keeper, that's actually, isn't that what we did last year?
Yeah,
we did the exact same thing last year. But it's just that these guys pick the right players. I just don't feel that they're on the right team. And I know that we were told that it's voted by the players and the coaches. I get it.
Yes.
But I just don't think the right players are picked. It's just on the wrong team, because on the third team, you have De Gea, you have Diego Godin, which is a superstar defender. Even De Bruyne, we were talking about N'Golo Kante. Yeah. He's there. Vidal's there. Bale, Aguero. Fourth team has guys like Hummels. Bonucci's on the fourth team. David Luiz somehow made this team. I don't know how. Eden Hazard's on the fourth team. Verratti's on the fourth team. Rakitic on the fourth team. Sanchez on the fourth team. Benzema and Higuain. Jeez. Like, what are we talking about here? Thomas Muller made the fifth team.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Didn't Dimitri Payet have a fantastic first season in the EPL?
Dimitri Payet,
he's on the fifth team.
And a pretty good Euro.
He wasn't better than Iniesta? I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. No one loves Iniesta more than me, but he's not in this calendar year.
Not anymore. Yeah, not this year, and not anymore.
No. Sergio Busquets? No, come on.
But this is why I guess these lists come out, so people like us have something to talk about. And it's every year, it's the same rant. I know you're probably getting tired of it, but I mean,
man, the hate that goes on for the EPL is just
they always look at, okay, who's more successful in international competitions and who's more successful in Champions League, and it's never an EPL team, save for the Chelsea win a couple of seasons back.
Yeah,
I mean, you're looking at Germany. You have to take the goalie because they're one of the best teams in the world and previous World Cup winners and all this stuff. And you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Barcelona, yeah. Barcelona, Real Madrid. Like, I get what you're telling me. You understand?
Yeah, we understand. You know what I mean?
I understand. So, I don't know, Joe.
Well,
it's just,
that's it, Reg. I mean, if you guys can see me shake my head, that's about my reaction to all this.
It's just like whenever this stupid list comes out, I just sit there. Okay, I think in my head, okay, it's probably gonna be Neuer. Can't be Alves this year, but it probably will be. Who else sucks in La Liga? Marcelo will probably be on it. You know what I mean? And it's just like that. And then you come and you look at it, and you're 100% right. And it's just like, oh, you can swap out Pique with Pepe or someone like that, and he still shouldn't be on the first team. It's ridiculous, right? So, whatever. But Joe did a lot today.
We did
a lot today.
We did a ton.
Football Weekly's back weekly. We're going to be back weekly.
We're back.
We're actually making time in our schedules to do this. And we did this before, and we told you we were going to be back, and then, you know, Christmas hit, New Year's hit.
We had to renegotiate our contract with ourselves.
Yes, and
we went from being paid nothing to being paid more than nothing now. So we're good.
We're winning, like someone would say, right? So
that's right. That's good. There you go.
So guys, thanks for listening to the Football Weekly podcast. Again, you can reach us at Football Weekly, footballweekly.com. Not going to spell it because you guys should know by now. Our Twitter handle is football_weekly. Again, subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM. Subscribe via email, our Twitter handle. I gave it already. Our individual Twitter handles. Mine is at @ReginaldDino_5. Joe is JoeCola4. Again, Joe, anything else?
Just trust us once in a while. Just trust us when we tell you these guys. Look out for these guys. We get it. Other people are saying something. Great. We love you too. We love you. You're not the only ones allowed to report on stuff. So can we. We can do it too. It's okay.
There's only one show that hits grassroots. So guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.